Newcastle is ready for the climax of the European club rugby season with two titanic teams facing off in the Heineken Champions Cup final. The Champions Rugby Show today brings you the latest from Leinster and Saracens ahead of Saturday's showpiece. We'll analyse the team news and hear from Leo Cullen, Johnny Sexton, Brad Barrett and Jamie George, who have been speaking here at St James's Park. And don't forget to download our main preview episode when Jimmy Gopeth, Dennis Hickey, Shane Byrne and Will Fraser joined us to talk about the big match, with the competition's last two winners going head-to-head. Tom, made that music. It's spine tingling on a weekend like this. What does it mean to the players and the pundits when you hear that on such a huge weekend?
Look, I think as a player, you certainly know what competition you're coming into when you hear music like that. But I think more importantly now, as someone that works in the sport and as a fan, it still raises the hairs on the back of my neck. You know, I almost, if you gave me a pair of boots now, mate, I would put them on and I'd be keen to play.
It can be arranged.
I think, you know, creating something like that that is so strongly affiliated with what the Champions Cup are creating, I think is really important. And I think the music is certainly something that brings it to life. And you know, when you hear it in the stadium blaring, it's pretty cool.
Here we are then at St James's Park, and this is everything I thought it would be. As I look up to the left, we are pitch side. Not going to do my Jeffrey Boycott key test.
You didn't think it'd be sunny.
Well, it is now. It's a glorious day. Just a few clouds in the sky, but I look away to my left and I just see this huge bank of seats way up, almost into the sky. And this stadium has already proven, Tom, that it can hold big rugby moments, whether it's World Cup moments, moments for Newcastle when they've had big crowds here, and the Heineken Champions Cup final is going to be its next instalment.
Yeah, I think this city has done itself proud when it's come to hosting rugby. Traditionally not somewhere you would associate with rugby, but I think the last two games that Newcastle Falcons have played here, they've done them brilliantly. But if you really look back towards the 2015 World Cup, the Scotland games that were hosted here, New Zealand played here, the town was absolutely buzzing, just as it is this weekend. And there were some fantastic games played here, and the atmosphere around town. People don't necessarily have to be massive fans of rugby in this town to get what's going on. The Geordies will understand exactly what's going on. They know how to support sporting events that are hosted in Newcastle, and really they're supporting the region. They're so passionate about their city and their region that they want to back it up to the hill.
The pitch is interesting as well, because there is a slight slope down into this bottom corner as well, and it is those tiny details that perhaps might make small differences. Players who are not used to playing in a stadium like this, I'm talking about even the Johnny Sextons, the Owen Farrells, when they come and do their captain's run, when they take a look round, they've got to take quite a lot on board.
I think for players like that, if you look at Tag Furlong, maybe it's just another blade of grass. But actually, if you look at players that have so much influence on where the game is played, on how the game is played, then actually little nuances like that, like the slope into this near corner, is really important, because when you're taking the ball and you know where you are in the field, you're taking the ball but not looking directly into the space you're going to be kicking in, but you know that it rolls away. As soon as you look up, you know exactly where you're going to try and hit. So I think, look, every single player that's playing tomorrow will have played in stadiums like this, and I don't think the different stadium is so much of a problem for them. I think you're right. You know, look, it's a nice sunny day today, but Newcastle has an ability to blow a pretty strong gale every now and again. Now, the high-sided stands will do a bit to quell that, but certainly if the wind gets moving in here, then the likes of Farrell and Sexton will really have to try and get to grips with that, but quickly as well during the warm-up.
Now, the action isn't just taking place here at St James's Park. It's also at the EPCR Champions Rugby Village, and they're going to get huge crowds this weekend. If you're near Newcastle, head there if you don't get a ticket, because it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere. They're even doing a punt over the Tyne, Thomas. Have you considered that? How far do you think you'll get your kick?
that's a punt with a ball, not in a boat with a stick. Yeah. Is it stick? I don't know. It won't. My kick will certainly not reach the other side. I'll be very, very surprised if anyone manages to reach the Gateshead side of the Tyne. That if they do, I think they should get that on social media. Let the Champions Cup know. They might have themselves a team next year.
So head down to the Fans Village if you're in or around Newcastle. You will not be disappointed. And Tom, just one final thought ahead of the final. For those coming to the game, give us a sense of the drama and the anticipation and what you expect.
It's a club game, but it's not really, is it? This is a test match. This is an Irish international side going up against another international side in Saracens. You know that every single player can play at the highest level. And the intensity tomorrow is really what I'm looking forward to seeing. We saw it last year in Bilbao. That match between Leinster and Racing, was some of the physical confrontations that we saw in that game were enormous. I'm expecting exactly the same tomorrow, perhaps even more, with the likes of Vunipola and Conan running directly at each other. I think we're in for a really tight battle. I think it's going to be tough to call. People keep asking me who's going to win. I've got no idea who's going to win, but you know, I think it's that tight. I think this could go either way, and you know, that the bounce of a ball could make such a big difference. It's minor errors that are then capitalised on by two very, very good teams.
That's Tom May. He knows this city better than anyone. We're going to be hearing from both sides ahead of tomorrow's match. We're going to be hearing the team news and getting all the build-up to the Heineken Champions Cup final tomorrow.
This is the Champions Rugby Show.
So here we are at St James's Park, looking down on a fabulous pitch. And boy, what a game we have tomorrow. The Heineken Champions Cup final, Leinster against Saracens, here in Newcastle, kicking off at 5 o'clock in the evening local time, 6 o'clock Central European time. You can watch it on BT Sport 2, beIN Sports, FR Der, Channel 4 and Virgin Media. This game is going to be shown in 170 countries around the world. Let's speak to Michael Corcoran from RTE. I mean, that stat alone, Michael, it's kind of... It's gobsmacking, isn't it, really?
It actually makes me even more nervous than I am, or even more excited. The fact that there's going to be so many people all over the world to witness, I think, what is going to be an epic final. Like, we've talked for years about the possibility of European matches and the final kind of matching what's gone on before it. But I just think we really have two gigantic heavyweights of European rugby that have kind of avoided each other in a final for the last number of years, and they're meeting here on this magnificent hallowed turf behind me tomorrow. It's going to be fantastic.
Tell us the mood back in Ireland before you flew here, because a year ago they won that final against Racing, and that was a difficult final, wasn't it? It wasn't the fireworks that we were expecting, and everyone expects fireworks here. Do you think we're going to get that?
I think we will, because to a degree, if I can use a soccerism, I thought Racing kind of parked the bus a little bit last year in the course of the final. There's huge excitement back in Ireland, to be fair. Obviously, the country's divided in terms of other countries as well, but everybody's kind of uniting behind Leinster and what they've achieved over the past, and the fact that they're looking to become the first team to win this for the fifth time is just something. It's really special, and I just think, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Saracens to perform as well, the season that they've had so far also, and I do think that this is going to live up to the billing.
Let's talk about Leinster's team then, starting from fullback. Rob Kearney with Lama, Ringrose, Henshaw, Lowe, Sexton and McGrath, that's the back line. And then up front, Healy, Cronin and Furlong, Toner, Ryan, Fardy, O'Brien and Jack Conan at number 8. Let's talk about Sean Cronin first of all, though, because there was a big doubt on whether he was going to start, and we're still not sure if he can play the full 80 minutes.
I don't expect him to play the full 80 minutes. I mean, there was a doubt about him at the start of this week. I was at Leinster training on Tuesday, and he was kind of moving around, I won't say gingerly, but he was doing his own thing in terms of training with some of the fitness people, S&C people. And they only really tested him on Thursday. He's obviously come through the captain's run today. I mean, he's huge. I mean, that's the reality about it, because they've got James Tracy on the bench, but beneath that, they're in trouble. So, you know, given the fact that Sean Cronin will start, I mean, the longer he's on the pitch, the better for Leinster. That's the reality. But I'm not surprised that they've gone with the team they've gone with. It's the best they've got. They have a few people who are injured, but, you know, let's not talk about the fellas who are not here. Let's concentrate on the people who are actually here. And, I mean, it's a pretty settled Leinster team actually going into the final.
Let's take you through the Saracens lineup. Good at fullback with Williams and Short Maitland back from injury. Lozowski and Brad Barrett in the centres. Halfbacks Spencer and Farrell. Up front, Makavunapola, George and Lamasatele. In the second row, Skelton and Cruz. And the back row, Itoje, Ray and Billy Vunapola. And I suppose, Tom May, the biggest eye-catching name in that is the fact that Itoje has been pushed to six. And you've got this Australian kind of colossus, Will Skelton, going into that second row.
Yeah, he's been massive for them. In fact, he was one of the only players that was left in their starting 15 when they rested all of their players last week. He makes, when I say makes an impression on the opposition, he literally makes an impression on the opposition. Can literally drag his team forward, and that's what Saracens are going to need tomorrow. They're going to have to make big dents in this Leicester defence to try and set their backs free, to try and get the likes of Liam Williams away with Alex Goode. That's where I think this is going to be won. We talk about the breakdown, and that's going to be a fierce battle in itself. But that battle of the gain line, the collisions, we saw it last year, I think, in Bilbao, and they were some of the most intense collisions that I'd seen in the Champions Cup. I think this is going to go up a notch again.
We'll hear from Saracens shortly. First, let's hear from the Leinster head coach, Leo Cullen, on his team selection for tomorrow's match.
The selection has been tough, like, over the course of the year. Tough in a good way, I mean. You know, there's a couple of guys that had to, you know, get some bad news this week, even though the 15 is the same as that ran out. Obviously, there was a couple of tweaks along the way. We've a couple of changes on the bench as well. So some of the selection decisions certainly weren't taken lightly. And it means a huge amount to the wider group. You know, but this 15 obviously did a good job in the semi-final, and that's always the temptation for us as coaches. How much do we tweak with that? So ultimately, we've gone with the same 15.
Leo, is Sean Cronin fully fit?
We'll soon find out, yeah. When a guy picks up an injury in a semi-final, so with his calf, so we knew it was going to be a little bit tight with Sean, but you know, he's trained okay this week, and hopefully he's good to go now. There's never any 100% certainties, but for a final, sometimes you take a little bit of a chance, but you know, he's trained this week, so hopefully he comes through okay.
That's Leo Cullen. Let's hear now from the Leinster captain, Johnny Sexton, who's been speaking to RTE's Michael Concoran.
Johnny Sexton, you've had a chance to get out there on the pitch and have a look around St James's Park, and big game tomorrow, but your initial impression of the place as a venue and what it could potentially be like?
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? Hopefully now a lot of people turn up and fill it out, because it's an incredible stadium. And it seems like it could be one of those special days and atmospheres that you want to make the most of. And we're pretty excited, looking forward to it. A lot of nerves, I think, today, but you know, that's good, and we'll try and use them to our advantage.
Have you had an opportunity to kick out there? Does it bring anything different? You know, the fact there's a big stand on one side is kind of slightly smaller on the other side.
Yeah, it is a bit different either end. There's a little bit of a slope on the pitch, which is a bit weird for a football pitch. Both teams are going to have to play in it. It's a fantastic surface. It's an incredible venue, and like I said, we're just getting used to just being out there and just getting used to, you know, kicking into the big end or kicking into the small end. Either side of the pitch is a bit different, so it's just getting your bearings, and you know, we'll get a good warm up here tomorrow as well. So it looks very different when it's packed. So that's the other thing you got to, you know, be wary of.
How would you describe the kind of humour or the mood or where everybody's in at the moment? Because I was at the airport, I saw you coming through. There was a bit of banter, the whole thing last night, but it's like as if everything is getting rather serious from now on.
Yeah, when you come over on a Thursday evening, it's nice, because sometimes when you travel the day before the game, you're almost in match mode, and it's a bit tense. But it was good to travel over yesterday, you know, because we had the early captains run today, and lads were in good form. You know, it's always a mixture between excitement and, you know, guys get a bit giddy, and then, you know, obviously then the nerves set in, everything goes a little bit more quiet, and you kind of spend your own time, and, you know, you do what you need to do. But look, we're a very close group. You know, we're incredibly, incredibly close, and you know, that shows when you see us away from, you know, work as such, and how we like to spend time together.
It's a huge game, you know, European final, but a huge opportunity for everybody concerned.
Yeah, look, it's an incredible opportunity. Like, to be the first team to get five would be incredible. You know, it would be something, you know, dream stuff. In fact, I wouldn't have even dreamt that much. You know, I was always fearful of being in Leinster, not being a part of the squad that won the first one. I managed to fluke my way into it. Poor old Phil went down, and we've had some good success since then. But I never dreamt that we'd get the five. It was probably Stuart that sort of mentioned it, you know, a few years ago about getting to five, and so yeah, it was never about four, but you know, hopefully we can make the most of this opportunity now, and it just got to go back to our performance and playing as best we can, and seeing where that gets us.
Realistically, I mean, it's the two best teams in the competition left. That's the reality. It's probably the competition at the final. A lot of people spoke about during the course of the year. How is everybody going to stay calm tomorrow, given what's at stake out there in the final?
Yeah, that's the key, isn't it? It's about sort of paring it back from all of the stuff I just spoke about. We haven't mentioned five. We haven't mentioned what a big occasion it's got. We literally just focus on the process as much as we can and all the bits of detail that go into that, and just do everything we can to get them right on the day. And if we can get as many of those things right as we can, well, you know, we're going to have a great chance, and that's why we're looking at it.
And you're up against a team, you know, that are chock-block full of international players, but you got to look at them as just 15 individuals.
Look, we've paid them massive respect with the terms of the analysis that we've done. We've spent a lot of time looking at them, looking at their individuals, but looking at the way they play as a collective. And yeah, they're an outstanding team. You know, that's no hiding that they've won it. You know, twice. You know, they've won it back to back, and they've lost the final as well. So you know, they're an outstanding team, and they've had some lessons along the way that makes them stronger. But like I said, none of this stuff counts when it comes down to tomorrow. Once it's the kick, ball's kicked off, it's who plays best for those 80 minutes that count.
During the course of the week, James Ryan said to me, pressure is a privilege. I don't know if that's something that sticks in your head, but you know, given the fact of what's at stake tomorrow for you, your team, your family, your friends, everybody, I mean, it's a huge sense of a European final.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, in the build-up now tomorrow, you'll be thinking, wouldn't mind me sitting down watching this, and then sometimes you're sat down watching other teams playing finals, and you're thinking, I'd give anything to be there. So, but they're the tricks your mind plays, and it is a privilege, like James said, to have this type of pressure to be in another European Cup final. You know, it's great there for family, friends, and all that. And you know, it is like he's a wise guy for a young guy, and he's you know, he speaks in a lot of sense, and he's right when he says that.
You're looking forward to it.
It's a mixture of looking forward to it, the nerves, the going to the game, you're thinking, do I need this now, do I? But, you know, once you get out there, you love it, and it's the things that you work for, you know, to be there in these days and to have these, you know, opportunities. That's why you do all the hard work that you do, and, you know, it's something that we're looking forward to.
Michael, I was really struck by how relaxed Sexton appeared in the press conference, certainly speaking to you as well. He's played on so many big occasions. From the kind of atmosphere you had in that interview, how did he seem?
I thought he was actually okay, but I thought he was maybe a little bit tense in his facial expressions, maybe the kind of little pauses between the question and the answer and that type of thing. Look, I wouldn't swap positions with him. That's the reality about it. I don't know how they do this for a living, to be fair. You know, the next 24 hours is going to be hell. One of the Leinster people at the side of the pitch of the captain's run said to me, hey, one more sleep. And I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, sleep? Are you going to sleep tonight? And he said, well, that's a rather interesting question because I'm not sure if I'm going to. And that was only the team doctor. You know, so it's just, I mean, it's a huge occasion. I think Sexton and Owen Farrell are key, that's the reality, you know. Whichever one of the two of them plays best and kicks best and keeps their temper under control has a really good chance of steering their team to victory.
There is, Tom May, part of this is kind of going through the motions. They know they've got to speak to the media before the match. They definitely don't want to give much away. And they don't sleep well. I mean, did you ever sleep well before a big match? And what on earth did you do that first morning when you wake up? You know, kickoff's not till 5 o'clock. You've got a lot of time to kill.
I think that's the biggest problem, is the dead time. And we noticed, didn't we, when Saracens came, they brought the kickers. But actually, there was two or three other guys that were here just having a little bit of a wander around, because actually that's time out of the hotel. You know, this evening's not great. I think, there's a game that they can watch, but, you know, I think that sort of gets rid of some time. It is tough to sleep. So you try and stay up as long as you can, knowing you've got to sleep in the next day. And then it is literally a case of what can I find to do that's vaguely interesting, that doesn't take up too much energy. Because that ultimately is what it's going to come down to. The finest of margins will win this game tomorrow. And it can be the likes of it if someone's had a good sleep, or, you know, the marginal gains that we always hear in sporting context, that's where these games are won and lost.
Let's hear from the Saracens skipper, Brad Barrett, who talked about their big match preparation.
Typically, we try to keep our formula quite simple, and no matter what the occasion, try to keep it quite similar as to what the feeling we want to get in the training week. And I think what we've achieved this week in terms of gaining that feeling and preparation for this week has been spot on. But it's been another thing over the top and different to what we usually do.
That's Brad Barrett. Next up, hooker Jamie George, who was asked how he was looking forward to running out here at the iconic St James's Park.
Yeah, it's obviously a massively impressive stadium. Obviously, being a football fan myself, it's pretty cool to be up here. Obviously, we'll get a sense of the atmosphere watching the game tonight, but then hugely excited. You know, what's supposed to be a sellout here tomorrow, it's going to be a great occasion, as it should be. There's certainly a good sense within the team. I think we've built some pretty good momentum over the last year, really, and couple of years. And I think we've learnt a huge amount from our loss against Leinster last year. And I think the team are in great condition. Good performances in the quarter-final and semi-final, but fully aware that we need to take it up another level if we want to beat Leinster tomorrow. So it's a challenge that the team are more than ready for.
Tom, Saracens a bit nervous in the press conference. I thought Jamie George spoke quite eloquently. Mark McCall just was Mark McCall, didn't really want to give much away. And Brad Barrett's just like a wall, isn't he, on the pitch and in the media room.
If he was a cricketer, he would have the most dot balls. And he was not giving anything away. You don't expect anyone to give anything away at this stage of the competition, the night before a massive game. You know, I think Jamie George seemed quite relaxed, I think, to just talk about football. And you know, he had a bit of a wander around, didn't he? But yeah, they were pretty cagey. I think both press conferences, I think you could tell the nerves were there from both sets of coaches and players. So, but understandable. I think the day before is probably the worst. The day of, you just want to get going.
Michael, best defence wins?
Probably most disciplined defence as well, I think. That's key. You know, people will always say to you that it's all about painting pictures in the referee's mind. Have a Frenchman in charge tomorrow. I don't know what kind of pictures he's going to be looking for, but certainly discipline is going to be massive. I mean, you can be outscored by 3-2 and still win, but if you're outscored by 3-1 or 3-0, it makes it rather that more difficult. An old rugby coach of mine said to me once upon a time, penalties keep you in touch, but tries win matches, and that could very well be the case.
And Tom, this is probably one of the biggest games in European rugby in a long, long time. You've got two teams here playing at their very peak. How big do you think this match is for the club game in Europe?
I think it's massive. You know, it's obviously the pinnacle year in, year out. And every year we get these Heineken Champions Cup finals. They get bigger and bigger in their size and in their scale. I think the fact that we're coming to these iconic stadiums, perhaps stadiums that are synonymous with football, it gives it a different bit of an edge, a bit of something different about it. But these two sides are fully deserving. You know, if you asked 1,000 people who would have been playing in the final this time when the competition started earlier on this season, I reckon 950 would have gone for Leinster and Saracens. I think these two teams straight out of the blocks have been the form teams. Just ask Wasps. You know, they were straight out of the blocks and had set their sights on Newcastle being their goal.
And Michael, Ireland has two of the best coaches right now. Mark McCall, Leo Cullen, going toe-to-toe. You know them extremely well. How different are they? How do they compare?
They're like chalk and cheese, you know. They both go about their business quietly. Certainly from Leo's point of view, he's obviously got, you know, someone like Stuart Lancaster working alongside him with Felipe Contepone and John Fogarty as well. Seems to be a good organiser of people, but is kind of pretty happy letting the other people do most of the heavy lifting and heavy work. And on the other side of it, you've Mark McCall, who's probably a bit understated, for want of a better phrase, goes about his business in a quiet way. but it's really, really effective. And you see, you can just see the trophy cabinet in the Saracens clubhouse and everything that they've done over the years and what he's done in terms of bringing the best out in people.
How different, have you noticed any difference from the Leinster of a year ago that won in Bilbao?
They're probably a lot more assured. They're obviously confident. They're supplying more and more players to the Irish international team. And they've learnt and built on the experience of winning and winning ugly last year. You know, the two horrible scratchy penalties for to win a match that is best remembered because of the another iconic stadium and a brilliant place to be last year. I think they're a much better side, but they're up against, arguably, I would say, the informed team in European rugby this season. So while Leinster may have learned an awful lot from last year and built on that victory, the expectation level in Ireland is quite big. You know, they're up against, I think, the best team in the competition this season.
The Heineken Champions Cup final then, Saturday the 11th of May, Leinster against Saracens, here at St James's Park in Newcastle. Kick-off at 5 o'clock local time, 6 p.m. Central European time. You can watch it on BT Sport 2, BN Sports, FR Der, Channel 4, Virgin Media. Michael, let's get a prediction from you finally.
Extra time victory for Leinster.
I have to say, I thought I was the only one talking extra time. Tom was like saying, "There's not going to be extra time. It's not."
Why are you on your train home or something in a hurry?
Yeah, there can't be extra time.
Remind us, Tom, who you went for in the podcast earlier in the week.
I said Leinster in the podcast earlier in the week, and I've not changed my mind, which I think you were slightly upset by. But you know, I think, contrary to what Michael says, I actually think Leinster are the side to beat in this year's competition. Mm. And I don't see anything that's changed that for me. In my opinion, I think that they're the favourites coming into this. And I just think, I don't know, I've talked about it, fine margins. You look at that Leinster side, that is an out-and-out test team. There's nothing. Yes, the Saracens team is a test team as well. I just think they've got more experience in the key areas.
And can I also make the point? I think if you look at the key selections from jerseys 16 to 23, I think Leinster have got a really strong bench as well. No disrespect to the Saracens bench, but I just think you've got seasoned internationals. The fact you have a fellow like Jack McGrath, British and Irish line, to come on if needed, you know, to load up front, basically, you know, various people like that. Reece Ruddock also. Leinster have key players to come on if needed.
When we talk about matchups as well, don't we, in games like this? And I'll put my hand up, Michael. It's not very often that I go for matchups in the front row, but when you've got the likes of Cronin against George, Tag Furlong against Vunipola, those. They're actually matchups I'm looking forward to seeing. Normally it's centres against centres, or you know, the obvious one that's Sexton and Farrell. But actually, these front row battles are key to where this trophy ends up going home on Sunday morning.
Guys, we could talk all night. Michael, I know.
We never even mentioned the second rows. I mean, if you look at that, seriously.
We mentioned Skelton, didn't we?
How could we leave out the second rows? Yeah, I mean, right. You know, Devin Toner, James Ryan up against Will, the artist formerly known as Will Skelton. Yeah. The sort of thinner version of him, to be fair, against.
He's lost 20 kg, hasn't he, in 18 months?
I need to see Phil Morrow before I get out of here.
And Michael, an occasion like tomorrow, a commentary like tomorrow. We talked about the nerves. It's just as nervous for people like you, isn't it?
It is. It's actually my 9th final. I was thinking about it during the course of the week. And, you know, the fantastic thing about this Heineken Champions Cup over the years, the venues that it's brought us to, and the last number of years away from the normal traditional rugby stadia. Like, you look at Athletic Bilbao last year. Here we are, St James's Park. I mean, I've just passed it before in a taxi. Now to even come in and stand here and look around without anybody here, just wondering what it's going to be like tomorrow. Sitting in the commentary area an hour and a half ago, trying to visualise what it might be like tomorrow.
You know, you can't sleep here. You know, you can't sleep here, don't you?
Can I not? Yeah, yeah. Well, I've come with my overnight bag, but I'd goose pimples sitting up in an empty box up there a while ago. So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Mike, I know you love occasions like this. It's been great catching up with you again.
Beautiful.
Don't forget, you can follow us on social media at Champions Cup. You can search for European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook and at European Rugby Champions Cup on Instagram.
You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show, the official EPCR podcast.
This is James Burridge of Tom May, back pitchside at St James's Park. And Tom, one of the biggest characters in Newcastle is, of course, Doddy Weir. Just describe, you played with him for so many years at Kingston Park. Describe the man for us, for those who don't know him.
complete lunatic. He is one of the best blokes you'll ever come across, not only in rugby circles, but in life in general. He's one of the most genuine blokes. And what he's doing now for his motor neuron foundation is fantastic, and actually is testament to the sort of guy that he is. You know, the troubles that he's going through, he's still got the wherewithal to try and raise as much money as he can to make a difference, to find a cure for that disease. And you know, he's doing brilliantly well. But in terms of a guy, you know, he's one of the greats. When I came into the change room, as some spotty little oik from down in London into the Newcastle change room, you know, he actually, you know, he took me and a couple of the other guys under his wing. He looked after us, even though he had however many caps to his name for Scotland, played for the British Lions, and he looked after us, and he helped us and encouraged us to really take the opportunity that we had with Newcastle with both hands. And you know, we all respect him for that, and we've stayed in touch with him ever since, and he's a great bloke.
Now, EPCR and Raging Bull Sportswear have teamed up to raise money for the My Name's Doddy Foundation. He formed the charity after his diagnosis with motor neurone disease. And you can show your support for the cause by buying one of the My Name's Doddy Foundation polo shirts. They cost £40, with all the proceeds going to the charity. Check out the website, ragingbullsportswear.com/MND. Now, tickets for Finals Weekend 2020 in Marseille are already available. The general sale opened today, Friday the 10th of May, for the finals at the Stade de Marseille. That is going to be quite a venue, Thomas, isn't it?
It's amazing. Having been fortunate enough to play in the stadium myself, really looking forward to hopefully being selected again next year to go down to Marseille and be a part of that competition, because, you know, I think... It's somewhere it's probably a bit like Newcastle, I would imagine. It's Olympic Marseille. It's all about the football, but actually just up the road, they've got Toulon, and there's a huge rugby tradition, as we know, with that club. But everyone will be desperate to play in that final, because it's another iconic venue, another great place to play rugby.
Isn't it just? And announced today, funnily enough, the new home of Tottenham Hotspur in London will be the destination for the European Rugby Finals in 2021. I can't even believe we're looking that far ahead, but we announced it today. It is a state-of-the-art venue. It is something to be believed. It's got a capacity of just over 62,000. It's going to open its doors to rugby fans on the 21st and 22nd of May 2021 for the Heineken Champions Cup and the European Rugby Challenge Cup showpiece matches. Have you been there yet, Tom? I mean, that is a stadium I really want to go and see.
It's supposed to be amazing. I was pretty surprised they didn't choose Selhurst Park, to be honest. But, you know, I think stadiums like this, we're now starting to see the evolution of rugby, aren't we? Because all these amazing stadiums are being used for the Challenge Cup and the Heineken Champions Cup, and I think it's a really big statement about where the game has come from and where we're going to, and I think, you know, to be able to host a tournament final at a stadium like that is going to be gleamingly new, even though it would have had a bit of wear and tear by then, you know, I think is another fantastic opportunity.
If you can't be here in Newcastle, make sure you watch the Heineken Champions Cup final live on television. It's live on BT Sport in the UK and Ireland. beIN Sports is the home of the Heineken Champions Cup in France, and the big match is also on FR Deux. Channel 4 in the UK and Virgin Media in Ireland are showing the final on free-to-air television. And for the first time, the Heineken Champions Cup final will have a network television audience in the United States, courtesy of NBC. There's also a host of other stations in other territories, and you can find full details via HeinekenChampionsCup.com. Don't forget, Michael Corcoran will be covering it live on RTE. There's also radio commentary on News Talk in Ireland and on BBC Radio 5 Live in the UK. That's all we've got time for on this bonus episode of the Champions Rugby Show from St James's Park. Don't forget to download our main finals preview episode with Jimmy Gopeth, Dennis Hickey, Shane Byrne and Will Fraser, all giving us their views on Leinster against Saracens. We'll be back with reaction and analysis after the Heineken Champions Cup final. Until then, you can stay up to date with the Heineken Champions Cup on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Plus, visit HeinekenChampionsCup.com for Champions Fantasy Rugby and all the best content. But for now, from Tom May and me, James Burridge, it's goodbye.